The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right.
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
That's right, you're radioactivist on the air. Your voice of resistance here on WRFD. Welcome to the program. And folks, as I speak to you, this is recorded, I am currently in Florida, suffering for Jesus in 70 degree weather. For you folks in Ohio here, actually, we're on our justice ride with our a busload of young people. We travel to college campuses, and we'll be at the University of North Florida, University of Florida, and the University of South Florida, and then we'll be returning back home to Ohio to continue the work of Created Equal. Folks, you can go to our website at createdequal.net, and you can listen to the program on iTunes. We podcast it there, and it's over the air here at WRFD in the state of Ohio, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, every Saturday. So thanks for joining the program. Today we have as my guest Robin Marty, and Robin is a freelance writer. She's a speaker, an activist, and she's the author of Crow After Row, How Women's Health is the New Separate But Equal, and How to Change That. Robin is pro-choice, and she's written articles that have appeared in Cosmopolitan, Rolling Stone, Slate, Politico, and Ms. Magazine, and more. She speaks at trainings and conferences for the National Organization for Women, the National Abortion Rights Action League, and the National Conference for Media Reform and Netroots Nation. Robin is also a Media Center expert on reproductive rights and politics. And Robin, thanks for being on the Mark Harrington Show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mark.
We appreciate Robin coming on. I met her at the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and I've obviously, well, I've read some of her stuff over the years that she's been online and writing about the abortion issue. As I said, Robin is pro-choice. She supports abortion rights. And I met her at the March for Life because, and we'll talk about this up front, but she wanted to find out what it was like to be a pro-life activist. She's pro-choice. I'm having her on the program. And the idea here is to have people that disagree with us on our program here. That's what we're about. We want to be the marketplace of ideas. We want folks to be able to come and share their points of view on the program. And my purpose in having Marty and Robin and other people come on the program who don't particularly share my point of view is to give you folks a look inside, if you will, the mind and the heart of someone who doesn't agree with us on the abortion issue. And Robin's not just pro-choice. She is an activist. This is what she does. And so we're on opposite sides of this debate, but we can still have a civilized debate, and we can have a civilized conversation and still respect each other, and we will continue to to disagree, I'm certain, by the time the program's over. But I felt like it'd be a good idea to have Robin on the program so you could kind of understand what the other side believes. Because I think often we just don't. We don't get a chance to talk to people that don't share our view on this. Now, I get a chance to do that all the time. I'm very fortunate in that way because when I go to college campuses, I meet folks that have Robin's point of view, her worldview. So I'm accustomed to that, but many of you are not. And so I think this is a good opportunity for someone who doesn't share our views on abortion, who is pro-choice, to actually come on the air, and I'm going to give her plenty of opportunity to share what she believes, and I think that helps us to understand their point of view. So, Robin, thanks again for being on the program. And let me just ask you this to start out with. How did you come around to supporting abortion rights? Let's just start there.
You know, everybody asks that, actually, when I come and meet with people on your side. And I actually think that, for me, it started out, it's always been a basic issue for me. It's something that I grew up with. Surprisingly, I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. So grew up in a very conservative area, grew up with very conservative family, very religious family. But it had always just been a basic understanding to me that abortion was a right. I grew up in the 90s, 80s and 90s. Abortion was a right. It was already settled at that point. It wasn't something that I thought about a lot. When I got into college, I ended up over at a feminist house where I lived for a couple of years on campus. And it was something that we worked on as an issue in the 90s. We took women over to clinics when they needed to have access to care. We took them over when there had been sexual assaults. We had a safe space in the house that women who had been sexually assaulted would come and stay in. And so I was activated then, but where it really switched over in my head was actually about 5 years ago. When it became a real issue for me was when I had had a miscarriage. And a lot of times when I tell people this, they're very surprised. I have three children. I had a miscarriage. These are all things that people don't always associate immediately with somebody who is active in reproductive rights. I had tried very hard to have my first child, and we were lucky and had a daughter. And then we tried for quite some time to have a second child, and it took about a year. And I was pregnant, and I went into the doctor in order to have my 12-week checkup. And when I went in, I found out that I'd had what's known as a missed miscarriage. So what it means is that I'd actually lost the baby earlier, but I did not know that. My body didn't recognize it. And so there was no longer a baby growing there. And my doctor told me that there was no signs that I was going to be actually having the miscarriage. The cervix was all tight, all of that. And that in order to finish the miscarriage procedure, I needed to go see a doctor who could give me a DNC, because that was something that he couldn't do as a family practitioner. He was not trained. For me, obviously, this was a very wanted child, and this was a moment where all of a sudden everything changed for me. Here I was pregnant, expecting this new life I was going to bring in that we've been trying so hard to have. And suddenly I found out that there was not a life there anymore. It was done. The pregnancy was over. The pregnancy was done, but there was nothing that I physically could do about it. The only way that I could end this was that I had to find a doctor who was going to be willing to perform the surgery for me so that I could then end the pregnancy and start all over with my life. It took about 24 hours for me to find a doctor who could do this. I had to go into the hospital. I did an outpatient surgery. I had a standard DNC, which is what people will have later in their first trimester. All of these things in my head started to add up, and I realized this is what it would truly feel like if I had an unwanted pregnancy, something inside of me that I could not get out on my own, that I needed somebody's permission, somebody's help in order to finally access this care, in order to end it and move on with my life. And that was the radicalizing point for me. And that was the point in which, after that, it wasn't just this intellectual issue for me, it became an emotional one. And that's really where I turned the corner and started dedicating myself full-time to abortion rights, started tracking laws, started writing books and writing articles.
Okay. Robin, do you have a website?
I do. I'm at robinmarty.com.
Okay. Robin's my guest, Robin Marty, and she's a pro-choice activist, and the website is robinmarty.com. Robin, let me ask you the question. Okay, so it's the miscarriage and the attempts to try to deal with that, because my wife and I, well, my wife actually, has had three of those, so we understand what's involved in that. Did you say you had difficulty finding someone to perform the DNC? Because, I mean, that's not a termination. That's not an abortion. That's just a DNC for a miscarriage, which I would find difficult to understand as to how you could have a difficult time finding someone to help you out on that.
Right. It was because my doctor who saw me originally was a family practitioner, and family practitioners aren't always totally trained in all OB-GYN.
Correct. That's true. That is true.
So I had to go through, since it was supposed to be through a hospital, I had to find the right resources for who, which hospitals could I go to, which doctors could perform it, which doctors were available to perform it. How soon could I get in to get a room in, since it was an outpatient procedure in a hospital. And interestingly enough, nobody ever suggested to me that I actually go to an abortion clinic to do it, which actually would have been much faster. Mm-hmm. But so instead I had.
Okay. So it was the experience of attempting to find a physician to do the procedure that led you to at least, in some way or another,
no.
feeling the experience.
Let me clarify. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll make it more clear. It
All
was
right.
the experience of finding a provider that gave me made the waiting time for me during that period in which I was waiting for a doctor to get back to me when I was trying to arrange all of it. This is something that and I hope this doesn't come across wrong. It's hard to explain to a man, but when you're pregnant and there's something inside of you, like once you can start to feel movement, all of that, you know there's a baby inside of you. I mean,
right.
I think we can both agree on this sort of thing. When you have a miscarriage, for me, for those 24 hours that I was waiting to get into the hospital, all I could think was that there was this dead thing inside of me.
Right. Well, listen, Marty, we've been through three of them in my family.
The only thing I ever had was this idea that there was something inside of me that was dead.
Right. I understand. I'm obviously not a female, so I'm not going to experience that. But I've had, my wife and I have had three, so I in some way can sympathize a little bit with you. Let's move on. I want to ask you the question. I mean, you obviously use the term baby. When do you believe life begins? I mean, you're using the term baby for a baby that you were wanting to have that was miscarried.
Right.
When do you believe life begins?
I can tell you exactly when I think that I believe life begins. And I believe that life begins when I think, okay, so life begins is the wrong question. And I know that you hear this and you think, oh my God, she's doing the dodge, because of course she's doing the dodge. Life begins. I mean, there's so many different.
Well, scientifically, we can verify when life begins, right?
Right, and I have no objection to that.
Okay, and you would agree at fertilization?
I would agree actually that life begins at implantation. Simply because having spent so much time in the infertility world, I have so many people who are friends who have gone through IVF and who have had embryos, who have had them stored. They don't think of them. I mean, they refer
right.
to them as their snowflake babies,
obviously. I understand.
But they don't think of them in the same way as they do once an embryo is actually implanted.
Okay. Well, not to get caught in the weeds, which we would do if
yeah,
we started discussing the difference between implantation and fertilization, which, you know, there is a difference. But you do believe that it's in the womb there. It is that we are talking about a human life. And what I want to do on the other side is talk a little bit about some of the arguments that you would have in support of abortion. You're listening to the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist here on WRFD. And my guest is Robin Marty, and she's a pro-choice activist. You can go to her website at robinmarty.com. Hopefully, folks, you're getting the inside look as to what people think on the other side of this issue. We'll be right back.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
Just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
All right, you're listening to your radio activist here on WRFD. We're talking to Robin Marty. She's a freelance writer, speaker, and activist. And she's written articles that have appeared in Cosmopolitan and the Rolling Stone magazine, Slate, Politico, and so forth. And she's a pro-choice activist. And I wanted her to have her on the program so you could understand the type of folks or the people that we encounter and their points of view that we encounter on college campuses and all across America. I think Robin in some ways represents a lot of those positions. And so we wanted to get you acquainted with these folks and understand that these are your neighbors. These are people that you're going to meet, and we need to understand them and be able to have a good response to them as well. But I don't want to debate Robin. We're going to try to stay away from that pretty much, but I do want to ask her a few questions. And so we left it off when life begins, Robin. And I, like I say, I don't want to get into the debate over implantation versus fertilization. Obviously, apparently, you believe that life begins early. When, if there was a point at which you think abortion should be, is there a point at which, let's just ask you that, to which you think abortion should be outlawed? Yeah. Well, is there a point at which any point along pregnancy as to which you would say, okay, I can agree at this point that's not a good thing to do. Or it should be illegal.
I'm obviously not one of the most obviously I hang out with a lot of pro-life people. I'm not one of the most extremist, what do you call them, pro-aborts that you will come across. I do actually believe quite a bit that later abortion, it should definitely be, if not illegal, it should be illegal under some circumstances. I do believe that when it comes to there being a fetal anomaly, if there is a problem with the health of the person who's carrying the baby, that abortion should be allowable, but that there is a point in which once a fetus can survive on its own, that you're past a point of no return.
Where would you draw that line, Mari? Or Robin, where would you draw that line?
I've been fine with the standards that have been set down in Roe. I don't have an issue with the idea of abortion being legal until viability, and then after viability only being legal at the point in which there is a health complication or there is a problem with the baby.
Okay. So currently we're talking somewhere around 24 weeks. As you know, the federal government, there's a federal bill right now. There's state bills to bring that to 20 weeks. Would you be against a 20-week abortion ban?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
And
I can actually explain why. I explain it fairly solidly also in my book. The issue that I have with the 20-week fetal pain bans right now is the fact that 20-week fetal pain bans are being introduced as this way of just being this tiny palatable step towards overturning Roe. So the entire strategy behind a 20-week pain ban, which is, and so that we can be clear, making sure that all of your listeners know, it's 22 weeks gestation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 22 weeks past the point of your last period. So roughly, we're only talking about 2 weeks less than the point in which Roe would kick in. But what it does is it sets up a precedent for this idea that if a fetus can feel pain or allegedly feel pain, or if there is even a question of whether a fetus feels pain, that at that point it's okay for the states to step in and then go ahead and ban abortion.
Right.
So if it were going to stop there, I would not have necessarily an issue. But I've read all the studies that I know are being pushed out alongside that say, well, actually, it turns out that at 14 weeks, these receptors are here.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it appears that at 8 weeks, these receptors are already starting to...
So outside of the debate, Marty, Robin, let me interrupt if you don't mind. Outside the debate between, say, 20 weeks and 24 weeks, just as far as the baby himself or herself, what's the difference? Leave the politics aside, because I'm unashamedly pro-life. Obviously, we believe that eventually we would want abortion to be outlawed, but we're far from that as far as it goes, because the culture is still unfortunately divided on this, and we believe abortion has to become unthinkable before it would ever become unlawful. But What is the difference between, say, a 24-week child and a 20-week child, other than age?
Because at about 22 weeks is roughly where the sucrient comes in that allows lungs to be able to inflate and deflate properly.
Okay, I get that, but that is a function of age. And so I guess the better question to ask you would be, why would we value, or in your case maybe value, a 24-week unborn child over a 20-week unborn child? Because it really comes down to the value we place on them based on what they are capable of doing, which I would argue is based on age.
Right. And I would argue that what you're saying is an emotional argument, which I think is true. But when it comes down to it, abortion is an emotional issue. So what's going to happen is the fact that no matter what we do with laws, abortion is going to be decided emotionally. Inherently, if it's illegal, if a person emotionally still wants an abortion, she's still going to go through with that. So it's going to be up to what is that person inherently thinking emotionally as an argument. So until you can convince every person that emotionally a 20-week infant needs to be protected, and even then, you're going to have the issue of people agreeing with you. You can have laws that are passed that would say that. But when you come down to somebody with a 20-week-old fetus and then says, okay, I need an abortion for X reasons, because that becomes a reality for that person, they're still going to seek out that abortion.
Right. Okay. See, again, I don't want to get in a debate here, but I want to move on a different subject. But our point of view would be this, and that is abortion is simply age discrimination. That is based on their age. What they're capable of doing is age-based. And so that's true of all of us. We all develop at a certain pace, and we shouldn't be discriminated based on that. It's no different than gender or race or religion. We shouldn't discriminate based on age. It's ageism, just like we shouldn't discriminate on the elderly because they're incapable of certain things as well. So, I mean, that's our point of view. We would see no difference other than age in the difference between a 20 and a 24-week preborn child, and therefore we should protect them all. There's no difference between them, really, other than age, from the time they are conceived to the time they're born, to become children, to adolescents, to adults. So that's our point of view.
Right, and if I took your example and I took it into my land over in abortion rights land, what I would say to you is that when you're talking about age discrimination, when you say you should not, how did you put it before, kill the elderly, because that would be age discrimination.
Right.
It's the difference between would you kill somebody because they're old, or would you let go of life support that is keeping a brain dead person alive? Like keeping the body functioning. It's the same thing to us. People ask
we discriminate based on age with elderly. I'm not talking about pulling the plug and brain dead patients. I'm talking about just discrimination basically because they become incapable of certain things.
But a fetus in the womb is the same as, at least prior to 20 weeks, is the same as that elderly patient that has no hope of recovery, has no brain function, and is just has a heart and lung machine that's keeping things going.
Well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. let's move on. Let me just ask you this. I want to try to find some common ground. We got about 1 minute here on this segment.
You know I
here.
Love common ground.
Well, we're trying to find common ground. This program is totally inadequate in the time that we have to cover so much of these subjects, Robin. I'm afraid that we're running up against the end of the program. Let me do this. If we could have you back, I would like to have you back because I don't think we covered enough ground here. I'd like to have you back, and we would be able to cover a little more ground because obviously there's so much to discuss on this subject. So I'd like to defer to the next time we meet, and we will cover some more of these questions regarding the abortion issue. Will you come back on the program?
Anytime, Mark. It was a thrill.
I appreciate it. Robin Marty's been my guest. You go to robinmarty.com. We'll have her back on the program to talk more about what pro-choice people believe and why. So you can be equipped and understand those are the folks you're going to be meeting in the public square, at your place of work, and in your daily life. You've been listening to The Mark Herendon Show. We'll see you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Herendon, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Herendon Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.